Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. And thank you for joining me tonight, and thank you for pressing play. It means so much to me. I've said it many times before, but whenever you hit play on any podcast, not mine or anything, it's just amazing because you're listening to somebody who's put some work into something. And whether they're just talking about, you know, just anything or talking about a certain topic like sports or movies or anything, there's so much out there, movies, TV, music. It always just makes me extra happy that you're supporting, you know, somebody that you may know or somebody you don't know. So it means so much to me that you could be doing so much more, but that you have chosen to spend the next hour with me, and I appreciate that very much. Today we're going to be dealing with a lot of movie stuff. I've seen some really interesting and great movies in the last little while, and I want to review them all for you. And so in the second half, I'm going to take a look at the DC movie Shazam that's out in theaters right now, and then I'm also going to take a look at a movie that is also out in theaters, but you may have to look for it. It's in indie theaters. It might be on streaming pretty soon. It's called Hotel Mumbai, and I'm going to be looking at that in the second half, because this first half is all about Avengers Endgame. Now, if you joined me last week, I counted down my Marvel Cinematic Universe movies from number 21 down to number 1, and if you didn't hear that, you might want to go check that out first, and then, you know, come back and hear my review of Avengers Endgame. Now, don't worry if you haven't seen it. This is going to be a non-spoiler review. This is probably one of the hardest non-spoiler reviews, because any review you do, you guess you spoil it a little bit when you're, like, even giving the synopsis or something. But this movie is almost impossible, because it is the direct follow-up to Avengers Infinity War. And there's just so much that goes on it that it's almost hard to talk about. So I'm going to be very generic and basically just talk about it. I don't know. I might do a spoiler review when, you know, a couple weeks from now. But honestly, I don't do a lot of spoiler reviews because of the fact that, I don't know, I think the only time you should go really in-depth in spoiler reviews is when you're got a group of friends together, you got a friend who's passionate about movies, and you've both seen the movie and you talk about it. But I don't know, I just think overanalyzing every movie, you know, just over the radio, just in the, you know, just putting the word spoiler on it just makes people like kind of edgy and stuff like that. So this is going to be my attempt at Avengers Endgame. Now, last week, a spoiler about last week's podcast is I told you that even though I ranked them from 21 to 1, I actually have enjoyed all the Marvel Universe movies. You know, obviously I love some more and I like some. Avengers Endgame, I'm happy to say, continues in that thing. I almost had a fear that I'd go into this movie and after liking 21 of the MCU movies, that it'd be ironic if I walked out going, I bloody well hated that movie, but I'm happy to say that didn't happen. And one of the reasons why is that Kevin Feige has created a beautiful formula for this. And even though you can have movies that have differences in it, they're similar enough to keep the tone. And he managed to nail it again with Avengers Endgame, which, as you know, there'll be some mild spoilers about Infinity War right now. But basically, in the last movie that we saw that half the universe was turned into dust because Thanos snapped his Infinity Glove, and we lost half the world. And in that was some of our favorite characters, you know, characters like Spider-Man and Black Panther and Winter Soldier and Star-Lord, and just so many of them just disappeared at the end of Infinity War. And nobody really knew how they were going to resolve it. Now, because it's based on a famous comic book, yeah, you could have ran out and read the comic book, but Kevin Feige and his team, the Russo brothers in this case, who directed this movie, usually tend to use the comic book as a reference but try to change it up a bit so it's not 100% the same. And from what I've heard of people who've read the comic book, Endgame is in itself very different. Again, I can't really say much about Avengers Endgame except that this follows the story. You definitely get a resolve on a lot of the stories. They leave a few open-ended, but for the most part, this is a really great movie. It's a beautiful movie that fits really good with Infinity War, and it's a perfect resolve for a lot of these characters. And although some of these characters are going to continue going on in the MCU, some of them will not. And I will warn you, if you're a sensitive person, there are going to be some losses. Again, I'm not going to spoil who goes. All I will say is that I was not surprised by some of the deaths, and I was surprised by a few. So, they did get me a couple times. So the writing is top notch. I think it's a really great movie. I have only seen it once. I don't know if I plan to go see it a couple times in theaters or I'm just going to wait for the Blu-ray. I've seen Infinity War a couple times now, and I did see that twice in the theater, but this one I was so satisfied with. I'm just not sure I want to see it again in theaters. I might, you never know. But it was a really well put together movie, and you could tell that they had plans for the first Infinity War and right up into Endgame because it is very seamless. Now, for those of you who did listen to my podcast or didn't, Infinity War was my number 3 movie in the MCU ranking. And one of my problems with it is that it was such a big movie that I found the pacing was a little off at times. And that was my biggest problem with Infinity War. I would have to say between the two of them, Infinity War is a little bit better. But ironically, I would say that Endgame is actually paced much better. I think it flows better as a movie than Infinity War did. It's just, for some reason, rewatching Infinity War a couple of days before I saw Endgame, I still think Infinity War was a stronger movie. The characters are all up to their standards. I think some of the actors probably and actresses get a chance at doing some of their best work. Again, I can't really say who because it might, if I say, well, this character, some characters that have always been kind of more quiet get a little bit more chance to shine in this. But you got to keep in mind when I say that, go in with a little sparingly. There's a lot of characters they have to deal with. And so everybody gets ample screen time, but I wouldn't say ample. Some people just get enough screen time. What I will say is that everybody gets satisfying amounts of screen time. So even characters that are only in it for a little bit get scenes that you really want them to do. For the most part, the story is very humanizing. We've seen these characters grow as characters, but this, we really get to see a human element in it, and I think that's really great. It's something we get to see more of with some of the characters who finally get to even branch out to even bigger ways, and I think that's really good. They take some chances with some of the characters. Again, I can't really say, but I can think of two cases where they just take a real swing for a home run, and I think they're both very successful. I think you'll know what I mean when you go see it. There's two characters that, you know, a lot of the characters, let's just say that were left behind. They follow paths that you would expect them to take, but two, they take chances on, and I think they're very successful. I don't think it would ruin much to say we know we see Thanos in here. Because obviously, you know, he survived Infinity War. I won't, of course, mention his fate, but I will say that Thanos was one of the strongest characters in the MCU as far as villains go. And he doesn't disappoint in this movie too. He has some really great scenes, and they're really very well done. Some of the problems I did have with this movie is I agreed with a lot of the things. When you go to a big movie like this, you have ideas in your head how you hope they'd go. I do know I do that, but I have to say that some of the ways that they went, I was right, but some I was totally off base. But I think they chose better ways to end it than I thought, so I give them credit on that. I think some of the directions they took were probably better than what I was hoping for, and that made it very satisfying. As a whole, the whole movie is very satisfying. It has got a nice slow build to it. And I think you need that, and I think that's where you get to see the human side to a lot of characters. There were a couple answers I had, questions I had at the end of this, but when my friends were secluded away from, prying ears, we got to talk it out, and I think it all worked out in time. I think this is a movie people will talk about. It, of course, broke major box office records. I think I'd give this movie, on a scale of 1 to 5, a 4.5. I think it was a perfect crafting of a finale in a series. And as I said, when I say finale, I'm not trying to spoil it, as in saying that, oh, we're not going to see any of these people. I'm saying that some of the characters will go on. Some of them have finales in this, but I think it's a good kind of movie for you to see, and especially if you've seen the other ones, definitely. It broke records at the box office. We're talking 350 million. Some people didn't even think it could possibly hit 300 million because of the fact that it's a 3-hour runtime and stuff, but it managed to like just blast away things, and I think it's going to be a very long time. Even I don't think the MCU will be able to top all the records that this movie made, just because this has been 11 years in the building, and this movie deserves it. Kevin Feige has done something incredible by making a universe. He's kind of hurt Hollywood in some ways, because Hollywood is trying desperately to do that. They're trying to do that with other universes, and right now more of these universes haven't done as well as this one. So let's hope Hollywood just lets Kevin Feige do his thing. As I said, I'm gonna call Endgame my Endgame, because I went to every movie they told me I had to see. And so I went to see all 21 of these. But as I've been spending the last couple of years trying to get out to see more independent films, getting to see more classic films, I really think Endgame is going to be the Endgame for me. Because I don't necessarily want to sit and have Disney tell me I have to see these next 21 movies to get to the next finale. I've decided I'm going to see my favorite ones, like, we know already there's a Spider-Man coming this summer. I'll definitely go see that. And we know there's already talks of Guardians of the Galaxy. So I don't think that's a spoiler to say that they'll probably eventually come out. What lineup of Guardians Galaxy, I can't say, because there may have been a change because of this movie. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to going to see the ones that I really want to see. But, unless it looks powerful, I don't know if I really need to see another Black Panther or another Doctor Strange or another Captain Marvel, even though I enjoyed the originals. I just don't want a studio to tell me I have to see these movies to get the big impact. The thing that disappointed me a little bit about Endgame, and this has nothing to do with the movie itself, was just seeing the passion that these people in the theaters had. And me as a movie fan, I love seeing that. But when I see that a lot of these people have the passion and they're like weeping for characters they know because they've become, which is great. That's the power of movies. But when you see they don't even have empathy for people in their lives, Or, you know, that they probably wouldn't even weep like that for relatives or family members. It really saddens me that, you know, that is kind of what the world is. So for some reasons, Avengers Endgame is my endgame because I'm going to choose the MCU movies I see. I don't want Disney to tell me what I have to see or, you know, I've kind of stopped with Pixar where I used to have to go see every Pixar movie and then I just got disappointed with Pixar and just decided I'm only going to the ones I really want to see. So Avengers Endgame, I highly recommend it. As I said, I give it a 4.5 out of 5. Definitely a worthy movie, and Kevin Feige should get some kind of accommodation for the facts. Accommodation. I can't say it. Anyhow, for the universe he's created and the fact that he has managed to do the impossible, he's taken a film franchise, 21, 22 films in the last 11 years. They're all solid, they're all money makers, and they tell one hell of a story. This is almost like a, you could now binge watch this whole series and really, really enjoy it. And you would be entertained because the MC movies have a formula. As I said near the end, I was starting to get a little bored with the formula. So, you know, one of the movies that kind of changed that was one I'm going to talk about in the next thing because I remember seeing Captain Marvel and being surprised how much I liked it. Then I saw another movie from the from the DC universe. A couple of days after, and that blew me away even more so. And it just reminded me that, yeah, I'm going to start going to see movies I really want to see and not be told which ones I have to see. But for the rest of you who still will go see every Marvel movie, and when they start putting these binge watching shows, and you can see all these other great Loki shows, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or WandaVision, and all the other ones they've talked about. You guys have a great time with it. And, you know, keep supporting it as long as they keep bringing the awesomeness they have, because I think they've entertained me for many, many hours. It's just I've grown up a little bit and I've decided for me, it's just not my thing anymore. I'm going to go see the ones I want to see. And, yeah, if I eventually see the other ones on streaming or on, DVD or Blu-ray, that's fine, but if I don't, it's not going to be a big thing. But Endgame is definitely one worthy to see, and I think you can see it even if you haven't seen the other movies, but I think it definitely helps. I think the emotional impact is more stronger if you did definitely see the other 21 movies. Anyhow, I'm still going to stay in movie mode, so why don't you pop up some popcorn, maybe grab some of your favorite snacks, maybe some nuts. I don't know why. Nuts just came into my head. That just sounds weird. Or grab your favorite beverage and meet me on the other side of the intermission, and I'm going to review Shazam and Hotel Mumbai, and that's coming up right after this. Welcome back. Devlin here with you, and I'm here with the second half of this week's Mondo Nostalgia Radio, and I think today's episode's going to be shorter than most, just because I realized, wow, because I couldn't talk much about the last movies. It was only a quick 20 minutes, so we'll see how it goes. But anyhow, thank you for taking the time and joining me here. I'm going to talk about two movies that are still in theaters. One is Shazam. That will be the first one I talk about. Now, this is a movie, of course, based on a famous DC Comics hero. And this was directed by David F. Sandberg, and it stars Zachary Levi, Mark Strong, Asher Angel, and Jack Dylan Grazier. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about Shazam. My most recollection of Shazam is of the cheesy 1970s show they played on Saturday morning television, which from what I've heard is only a splinter of what the actual character is. When they announced they were going to do a Shazam, you know, me being a big DC fan, I wasn't as excited, just because I had already seen most of the properties I want to see in DC. Well, maybe a Zan and Jaina with the Gleek would be a nice, movie, the old Wonder Twins movie. I don't think I'm holding out for that. But when Shazam came out, a lot of people were excited about it. And this movie hasn't done too bad at the box office. It hasn't been a huge, huge hit. But it's still doing pretty well, and it's got great word of mouth. Now, when the first trailers came from this, you could definitely tell that this was what they're now calling DC's extended universe, because they've kind of... DC's kind of in a transition period where their shared universe is kind of been hit with some bad press and, you know, divisive movies and stuff. So, you know, Aquaman and Wonder Woman kind of were solo attempts, even though those characters are technically part of the DCU. Shazam kind of fits into that. It's kind of in their world, and there's stuff in the movie that links it to the other movies, but it's still a standalone movie. So their inspiration is kind of gone all over. But when the first trailers hit, you could tell that they're really dark movies were done, because Aquaman had a lot of comedy in it, and Shazam looked like it had a lot. To be honest with you, I wasn't too thrilled with the trailers for this. I actually was going to avoid seeing it. And then when we got closer to the release, I decided that, I don't know, there was nothing in this movie that was winning me over. Then I saw an interview with Zachary Levi, and I've never been his biggest fan. I have nothing against him. I never thought he was anything, you know, really to write home about. But there was something about him and his enthusiasm talking about the Shazam character. And one day I decided, what the hell, let's go see this movie. And I'm quite glad I did, because this is one of those movies that totally surprised me. I had seen Captain Marvel a couple of days previously. And I really liked it. I was surprised how much I liked it. But as Shazam, I had no interest in seeing as well. This movie really blew me away. I thought it was so well done. And I loved that, although it did have the zany humor that they promised in the trailer, what really won me over is the heart of this story. And this, to me, was kind of like a movie like Kick-Ass, which I absolutely love, but they toned down the violence and made this more family-oriented. There is still some scary parts for really young kids, but overall it's got a heart of gold. Basically, Shazam is a superhero that's kind of guarded by a wizard, and this wizard has been desperately looking for somebody who is pure of heart that can wear this outfit, and every time the wizard thinks he's found somebody, he really turns out like it's not really what they planned. So he winds up finding a boy named Billy Batson, who's a foster kid. After losing his parents, he's been shipped to house to house and has never really made any real life connections with people. He's basically, you know, a little bit of a troublemaker. He's even broken the law a bit. But when the wizard doesn't have any more options, Billy Batson is told to wear the Shazam thing, and Billy turns from a 14-year-old boy to a full-fledged man superhero by the name of Shazam. Well, Shazam is the words he's supposed to say to turn him into it, but I believe there's a complicated backstory that this actually used to be a character named Captain Marvel, but now it's known as Shazam because Captain Marvel had some kind of issues because Marvel wanted a Captain Marvel, and I don't know the whole story, and I'm not going to begin to pretend I know it. But anyhow, the heart of the story is Billy Batson moves into another foster home, and then this happens to him, and he doesn't feel he's ready for it, but he teams up with a friend named Freddy, and they basically start training Shazam to be a superhero, but they do it in a style that's kind of very much like the movie Big. where he's like this young boy in a man's body. And Zachary Levi is definitely one of the positives of this movie. For a guy who never really, I was very like, I don't think he's that great an actor or anything. He really blows me away in this. This is a dream role for him because he suits it so well. He is this 14-year-old kid in this, and it's just kind of really excellent how he plays it, and he does a great job. He also looks good in the suit, and I'm only saying that because apparently I read a story that Zachary Levi has had some very bad times. He's had a hard life growing up. And he actually was very close to getting the part of Star-Lord, and it didn't pan out. He also managed to become a warrior in Thor, but most of his scenes were cut. And so he was desperate to play one, and he finally got the role of Shazam. And he actually worked for several months to get the body. And he deals with, low self-esteem, which a lot of us can identify. A lot of you who know me knows I can identify with it. What made it hard was that when he put the suit on and pictures were leaked of him, he actually was trolled online saying, "Look how fake he looks. Look at the fake muscles in the suit." The suit is made to be looking more a little fake than authentic, but the muscles are all him. And so him working so hard and then still having people telling him he looks fake was really tough on him. So I didn't know that till after I saw the movie, but I like that. So he's really great. He's really a triumph in it. The younger version of Billy Batson is also a triumph. He's a young actor by the name of Asher Angel. And a lot of the kids in this movie are really good. And I'm only going to name a few of them. But Asher Angel, I really want to call out because he's the real heart and essence of this movie. And if they didn't give us a kid, as I said, this kid's a bit of a troublemaker. He breaks laws and stuff. But if he didn't give us a kid that we fell for, the movie wouldn't have worked. And Asher Angel, just you look at his face and you can tell this is a kid who wants something but just doesn't know what it is. You just kind of want to grab him and give him a big hug and tell him everything's going to be all right. He really wins the story over, his dedication to trying to find his mother, who he lost years ago, and that story is just so compassionate. The other young actor I want to mention is Jack Dylan Grazer, who plays his foster brother, best friend kind of thing. We've seen this guy in other movies. He was in It, and he's been in a lot of other movies, and he's just amazing. He's kind of the nerdy friend. He knows all about superheroes, so when Billy finds himself as this adult superhero, it's Freddy that helps him out through it. It's a really great performance. He plays a kid with disabilities, but he never lets it slow him down. They're not ever used as disabilities. He's still a wisecracking kid who's very smart about comic books, and their relationship also works good. As I said, there's a lot of young actors in this, and they're really good. The foster home that he lives in is a great aspect. I actually wish they had more time to delve into it because it was a really wonderful thing. And I can't even imagine being a foster parent to help these kids out and then have to let them go. To me, it's heartbreaking. And this movie shows so much of that. And that's the heart of this movie. The gravy of the movie is that it tells a really interesting superhero story. It might not be the strongest of the stories. Mark Strong plays the villain, and he does a really good job. And they try desperately with the script to show that he's a really three-dimensional villain. It does sort of work, but I would say that it's got some weak parts in it. But he is really good in the role, and finding Shazam having to deal with this, where it's great when he's using his powers to help people with smaller things and stuff. It's kind of neat. What also was also great to see was this was filmed in the Toronto area, and many scenes were filmed in Hamilton. there's a major scene that is shown in the trailers where he saves a robbery of a convenience store, and it's so obvious, this store that we have on Barton, that is just amazing to see. It was actually my partner Mike to point it out. I didn't even know, but I knew they filmed in this area, but I didn't know. And when I see it from the outside, it's like, yeah, that's definitely that convenience store. So I love movies that are filmed in this area because it gives you a chance to check it out. I think the director is really great. David F. Sandberg does a great job with this material. I look forward to seeing more movies. I think it's made enough money to give sequels. I know there's one in development, but I can only hope. The writers of this story, the screenplay was by a name called Henry Gayden, and based on a story by Gayden and Darren Lemke. And I think this is just a really great, well-written story that has so many layers. It's fun, it's heartwarming, and it's got some great action pieces as well. It's just a nice feeling movie. And as I said, I loved Captain Marvel, but it almost felt formulaic because of the Marvel universe. And then I see Shazam, which some people will say will be formulaic, but I love that sometimes the DC movies take more chances. And once again, I was blown away by Shazam. So Captain Marvel was good, Shazam was great, and I'd highly recommend it. I'm gonna give this movie a 4.5 stars. I just thought it was an amazing film. I think I could have got it all the way up to 5, but I did have a couple of issues with it. As I said, mostly some of the development of the story. I know a lot of people complained about the tone of this movie, but I actually thought the tone wasn't too bad. So I was totally fine with this movie. It's a great film. I know everybody's going to be talking about Endgame and that, but if you could, I think you should definitely check this out because it is just a great movie. And if you don't see it at theaters, don't worry, it's coming up probably soon. Okay, on streaming and Blu-ray and stuff. This next movie was originally released in 2018, but you know, us living in Hamilton, Ontario, we don't get it till around now. But this movie has just started. It was filmed around the 2018. It's just starting to make the rounds. This is actually an Australian film, and I absolutely loved this film. The movie I'm talking about is The Hotel Mumbai. I hope I'm saying that right. It's a biographical thriller film directed by Anthony Maris, and it stars Dev Patel, Armie Hammer, Nazanin Boniadi, I apologize for that, Jason Isaacs, and Tilda Cobb Holm Hervey, to name but a few. This was based on true events that happened in 2009. This actual movie was based on a documentary called Surviving Mumbai. And these were attacks that happened in 2008 in Mumbai, India, at the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel. And I think I remember the events, but I didn't look into the details of it. Sometimes when it comes to news, I follow the news, but I don't go in depth into the news because I don't know, it kind of depresses me a little bit. And I know I should be more informative and stuff, but for this movie, it actually helped that I didn't know a lot of the subtle plot twists because I was on the edge at every step of this movie. Basically, what this is, it takes place in November 26, 2008, when a series of terrorist attacks took place in Mumbai, India. It was a group of 8 young men who were working for a terrorist organization, and they were constantly being talked to in their earphones. These were young soldiers, and they just came in, found locations around, and started just randomly blowing stuff up and mowing people down with machine guns. Eventually, a lot of them find their way to the Taj Mahal Palace, and basically, we get to see this through the lives of the staff at the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel. We see it through the guests, and we see it through the terrorists. And I was, as I said, on the edge of my seat because I didn't know who lived and who died from the real events. I was constantly not sure who would. The director does an amazing job of setting that up. As I said, his name was Anthony Maris, and I'm sad that more people aren't talking about this movie because I actually thought it was phenomenal. The acting was incredible, and I just thought everything about it was just so well done. They kind of introduce some of the characters at the beginning, but mostly they introduce the guests, like the actual hotel and their philosophies. This place is like paradise on earth, and they have this quota that is guest is God. That's their quote. That is what they live by. And you see that this place is run by hundreds of people who work there, and some are just starting out, and some have been there for decades. And it was just an amazing piece of work. And as I said, you see it through the lives of all these people. They go back and forth, and never do you feel that you're overwhelmed. There's just a handful enough characters that you follow these people. The main ones you do follow are Dev Patel, who plays one of the young workers there. He's a young father who you can tell screws up a lot. He's late for work. He sometimes forgets pieces of his uniform, and he gets in trouble all the time. And you see, his how he works with some of the other people that work there. And then you see a couple of guests that you follow through. Jason Isaacs plays a character. He's Russian and he's a businessman. That's all you really know about him until the story builds up. And just like Endgame, I'm not going to give you away anything. But anyhow, he's kind of a hard living man who likes, prostitutes and having wild parties and stuff. And of course, they don't question anything. So if he asks for some good looking women, they make sure they're going to be in his room. And that was incredible. And then there's a young couple, played by, I could get this wrong, but I believe it's played by the woman, I couldn't say her name, Nazanin Bonialdi. I could very well be wrong on that. Let's see what her character is. I've got my Wikipedia here because, yes, I believe that is right. Nazanini Boniadi. And I apologize for getting her name wrong because she's really well done. Anyhow, her and her husband, who's played by Armie Hammer, and she, you can tell immediately that she's a very important woman. Her mother is a very big woman, and they have kind of a, because they have a mixed relationship, they also have a very young child and a nanny that goes with them. And you see their life, and you can tell like they're very like, do not talk about the wedding, it didn't go well, and stuff like that. It's really kind of neat. And you also see it from the side of the terrorists. It's actually the sides of the terrorists that actually made me really love this movie. I love the performances that those other characters gave. And I'm not saying the terrorists were the best actors in this movie, but what I liked is that this movie was daring to do something I've never seen in another movie. They basically didn't. The movie is not done gorily. It's actually all the violence is suggested, but you still get a sense that it's there. And sometimes I like movies like that because your mind can basically, play more with your head than, if they just showed you gore and violence and stuff like that. So everything you're seeing is very violent, but a lot of it's left to your own imagination, which is solid. But the thing I like is that they don't ever try to lighten what the terrorists are doing, but they show you a human side to them, that these are young soldiers that are following, blindly, this leader that is telling them to do all this. Like basically you're doing this for Allah, and it's amazing because you see the ones that are dedicated to the end, but you actually see a couple that are starting to question why they're doing this. And like we're talking brutality as in like, you have somebody who's always in your ear telling you that this is for the greater good. You're gonna be going to up to, heaven soon and see Allah and stuff like that. And that's pretty powerful stuff. There's even moments where he's talking in their ear and basically telling them that, you know, I want you to leave this line open so I can hear the screams of the people. So they don't try to make what the terrorists do. They don't try to make you understand why they did it. But what they do is they show a human element to these people. And that's one of the things that wins this movie for me. Not only did I love, you know, like the characters and the twists and turns of this movie and just the actual, what am I trying to say? You know, like how literally I was on the edge of my seat and I had hair standing up at points. It's just the thing that wins me the most is that they handle every character in this movie like a person. I've seen so many of these dramas where they just handle the terrorists almost as, you know, either stereotypes or as just cardboard cutouts, like two-dimensional characters. But this one, they actually try to show you where they're coming from. And I think that's a bold move because I think a lot of people might not like that. And it bothers me that a movie like this isn't talked about as much. You know, this is a solid film, and I think everybody should check it out, especially if you like this kind of, you know, like drama, you know, even action. There's a lot of action in this movie. So, but, you know, I know we're more known to talk about stuff like Endgame or Shazam or something. But if you do get a chance to see The Hotel Mumbai, I strongly recommend it. In fact, I think it's already one of my favorites of the year, and I'm going to give it 5 out of 5. Yeah, I'm going to give it a perfect score because I didn't know what I was going into. I knew a little bit of the story, but it was just so powerful, and the visuals were just absolutely incredible. And quite frankly, it's just was a surprise, and I like those movies that just come out of left field and win me over. Anyhow, that's my reviews. As I said, today's probably a shorter episode today, but you know, I've got some plans for the summer, and I'm hoping to have some co-hosts in and just talk about some more great stuff. Thank you if you listen today, and I appreciate it, and I wish I could thank you individually. And, you know, let me know, comment either on the YouTube channel, or you can always send me a note on my Facebook Mondo Nostalgia page as well. I'd love to hear from you, or let me know stuff you'd like to hear talking. Do you like my movie reviews? Do you prefer when I talk about old shows or movies? Or maybe you prefer when I talk about, you know, personal things. Just let me know, and I will, I will maybe acknowledge it or, you know, take it in consideration, because I love doing that. And I love making these for you. And, you know, a lot of times I'm doing it for me because it's therapeutic for me. But the fact that somebody takes the chance to listen on something that I'm doing to just kind of, you know, get my creative side out, or just, you know, it blows me away that some people would do that for me. So anyhow, you have a great week. Thank you for listening, and I will look forward to talking to you all very soon.